We're very thankful to have each and every person on this morning, especially those of you who are visiting with us from other congregations across the nation, or perhaps you're visiting with us and being invited by someone. You're not a member of the Church of Christ. You're a very honored guest. You are the VIP of our audience this morning. We consider you a very important person because you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We believe that the Bible is right in the churches of Christ. And the Bible teaches us that one must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, believing that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross, shed his blood, and washed his sins away in baptism. And that same blood purchased his church, his wife, his bride, the only church you ever read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. According to the Bible, it's saved in that one church. There's but one church in the Bible. And that's why you're our VIP. We want you to be a member of the Lord's church. Now, you can't join it. You have to obey God and do what he said in the Bible. And you can become a member of that church, and it belongs to Christ. It don't belong to me. Amen. It doesn't belong to me or anyone else. It belongs to the one who died. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so that's what we believe. If you want to call this morning, we pray that if you've been studying with us from the book of Hebrews, you have enjoyed this study this morning. We'll continue our study in chapter number 11. This morning, titled the sermon, They Desire a Better Country. Open your Bible now, Hebrews chapter 11, and let's continue the study of the book of Hebrews. This is the book of faith here. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. This is something we talked about last week. Faith, is you look at it as a sub, a base that you stand on, a foundation, a bottom, what comes up from the bottom all the way through your body. You will stand on the Bible all the way you can get to heaven. It permeates all the way up to your mind. That when you stand on it, everything you believe without ever seeing it with your eyes is in that book that you're standing on. If I was on a stage, I would stand on it. And I would say, this is what we believe. Everything we believe hinges on this book being right from the front to the back, from Genesis to Revelation, all of it. Anyone who don't believe in the Bible will never be pleasing to God, because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to believe God. Now, faith is a belief. What you believe is your faith. What is your faith? What is it based on? What do you believe? Where did it come from? Well, ours, in the Church of the Christ, what we're talking about here is the Word of God. Romans 10:17, for faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We don't believe in nothing based on seeing it. We've never seen Jesus. We've never seen him with our eyes. No one has ever seen him. What amazes me when you ask very intelligent people, oh, why, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Yes, I believe in Jesus. But you believe in the Bible? You believe in the one church? No, I don't believe in that. I can't go that far. Now, well, that's an oxymoron right there. What are you saying, brother? How can you say you believe in Jesus? You never saw him with your eyes. Where did it come from? Well, you believe in him because of your mama. Maybe you believe in him because of your dad is saying it. Maybe you believe in him because Reverend Joe or somebody said it. The only way you can believe in Jesus, it's through this book. This book is the Word of God. And we believe in him without ever seeing him. I believe that he suffered. I believe they beat him. I believe he stood before Pilate. I never saw none of this with my own eyes. I believe he wore the crown of thorns. I believe he went to Calvary. And there they nailed him to the cross. I didn't see that. Did you see that? Amazing to me. Smart people. Yeah, but I don't. What about this part of the Bible? What about this part of the Bible? Well, let me just say to you, very smart people, if any part of the Bible is wrong, then your Jesus, where did he come from? How can you say you believe in somebody in a book of only parts and pieces of it? You believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in the church. You believe in Jesus, but you don't believe that, whatever. You say, what? So when people say that those kind of things to me, I just say, well, the problem really is this. You don't believe that the Bible is right. You hear people say, well, that Paul said that it came from some man or something like that. Well, your problem is just what we're getting ready to talk about today, in the next, this afternoon. Faith. Faith. Belief. What do you believe and where did it come from? Think about it. Many people have a belief system based on a tradition of their mama or daddy or grandparents. Many people like that. They just say what other people say. Carry on a belief that other people carry on. Never pick up the Bible to verify. That's dangerous. So faith is the foundational system of belief for us, for our hope. We hope for a better country, a heaven, the one hope, a heaven to win and a hell to miss. Both of them are equally important to believe. You can't say you believe in heaven and don't believe that God will send someone to hell. Well, then, there you go. You got a flawed belief again. There you go. You got a belief ain't based on the Bible. And this is what is going on in America. This is why you see a different church on every corner where people make up a belief system and then they carry this book with them called the Bible. But their belief is not based on the Bible. It's belief based on parts that they want to cherry pick, as we call it. I pull this part out of the Bible, the grace, saved by grace, I'm pulling that out. You know, as long as your heart is right, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, I prayed a prayer, all that. He pull those, cherry pick those little things out of there and leave the rest of it, because I don't really believe all of it. Well, then you don't have a system of faith. Not just going to save you. See, this is why I'm spending a little time on that one word, faith, because even in the church, there are many people in the church, I'm convinced of this, after preaching gospel meetings and talking to people all over the nation, being on call, listening to people talk, and having Bible class one-on-one, many members of the Church of Christ, listen carefully to me, those of you in the church, you are a Christian, and you call yourself a Christian. You believe you're going to heaven, but your faith is not in the Bible, because you believe, really, that your grandmother went to heaven. You believe that good people go to heaven. You're not convinced enough to invite the rest of your family to hear this, or would be bold enough to say it in front of them. You want to know why? Because in the heart of hearts is where your true belief is. In your heart of hearts, ask yourself this question. Do you believe 100% in what the scripture says? Do you believe only if you're going to be saved? Or do you believe like the people of the world that many good people going to heaven? Well, you can't believe the Bible no more. But Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, there's going to be a straight and narrow way, if you would find it. And that's why when I think about preachers in the church, and many of them are trying to build mega churches, you know, in the name of saving souls here. But really, it's a business. It's a business mindset. But if you really believe the Bible, then you can't get upset or be bothered by the fact that only a few are going to obey. Why? Because Jesus said it. Why can you fret over what Jesus said? You got to say, well, I believe it. I just want to be in that number. Well, now you're talking. Now you're talking. Anytime we question the Bible or we question God, your faith has been is not where it needs to be. And your faith, without it, we're getting ready to see. It's impossible. Listen to the Bible. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, verse 2. For by it, talk about faith, the elders, that's the men of the patriarchal dispensation time period, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those under that period, obtained a good report. Why? By faith? By that, by itself? Yes, yes, it did. See, through faith, he said, verse 3, Hebrew writer said, we understand, including himself, that the worlds were framed. Look at the universe. I mean, the moon, the star, they're trying to send these satellites up there now and sending rockets to intercept asteroids and trying to get someone to Mars and trying to live up there in outer space. Where do those worlds come from? Who put them up there? See, the people of the Bible understood that the world was framed by not some big bang theory or evolution or anything like that, by the word of God. God spoke, and it existed. God spoke the moon into existence. His word, the sun. I heard yesterday they got a spaceship, a rocket or something that's going to fly into the sun to check its temperature. It's going to burn up. That's man-made stuff. God put the sun and the moon in the eye and the sky, hanging on nothing. So the Hebrew writer said that's what the people of faith understand, that the world was framed by the very word of God. Now, which means that the Bible is the very word of God. That's how we got to believe, too. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. God breathed, and when you're speaking, I'm speaking, that breath is coming out of my mouth. When you read the Bible, it's the breath of God in your face. So that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So you just look in the sky, it speaks. The stars speak, the moon speak, everything in the heavens speak. In the world, universal world, all the magnificent things of this world speak to their ears of God. There is a God. No man could have done this. No man could have done it. I listened to verse 4. He's starting, and this is something I done last week. You got to go back and hear that sermon. Verse 4, by faith Abel. Here come one of them. One of the patriarchs. One of those elders obtained a good report. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaking. Number 5. By faith, Enoch, he's just going down the line. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he what? Pleased God. Watch me, verse 6 now. He couldn't have pleased God without faith. For the Hebrew writer said, but without faith. Notice this now. This is a strong word right here. It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe. That he is, must believe, impossible without faith. So faith and belief is the same thing. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. You got impossible and must. There's no options outside of faith. Now notice what, he's a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. And the sermon title this morning is they desire a better country. I mean, you have to really desire to diligently seek for heaven. You got to diligently desire. How many of you on the call this morning diligently desire to make heaven your home? Well, you cannot do it unless you believe in this book called the Bible. Look at the next verse. By faith knowing, being warned of God, not seen as yet, of things not seen of yet. See, no one had never saw rain. He moved within, preparing all, the agenda of what God said, and saving to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by what? Faith. So here you see, all these people had a good report of faith. Listen to verse number 8, what we're picking up for this morning. By faith, Abraham. Now we get to talk about Abraham. Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive an inheritance, obeyed. Watch this now. Listen carefully. No faith, no obedience. That's why some of us say, I don't see why everybody's got to be in one church. No faith. You're not going to obey. I don't see what the baptism got to do with it. No faith, no baptism. I don't believe everybody's in one church. No faith. No belief in one church. You can't have both. You got to have faith and belief, and that leads you to an action. The action that it leads you to, we call it obedience. Believe it, do it. And like I do with my mom. She said, get over there and sit down, or I'm going to spank you. I believe she meant it, and I sit down. You get it? I think you do. If you believe, then you'll be baptized. Ain't that what Jesus said? Mark 16:15-16. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it, watch it, there's faith, and is baptized, that's obedience. Somebody say, well, you ain't, that's work. No, that's obedience. You do what he said do. That's what sets us apart in the churches of Christ. In the churches of Christ, we believe you do what he said do. That's why we take communion every Sunday. Jesus said, this you do in remembrance of me. That's why we sing without instrument of music. Why? Because in the Bible, you see men and women of faith in the New Testament, they sing. They didn't play in the instrument of music. We do all those things. And we preach from the very thing we believe in, which is the book called the Bible, without addition or subtraction. We speak what the Bible speaks. We're silent what the Bible sounds. There's a reason for that, Church of Christ. There's a reason for that, members of the church, is that that nails down our faith system and our system of belief that leads us to obedience. Now, by faith, Abraham, he was called to go into a place where he shall receive an inheritance. He obeyed. See that? And he went. So when you obey, you do. Not knowing about to have the outcome of it. Whether he went, you do what God say and leave the outcome to God. Now, when God tells you the outcome, you can believe it. Like when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, you can believe the outcomes to be saved. But you got to believe, number one, faith. You got to be baptized, number two, in order to get the reward. That's what we're trying to get to, a country. We desire a better country to go to, and it requires faith that leads to obedience, or active, obedient faith, or examples of actions of faith. Abraham, another one of God's great patriarchs. You hear men and women, men primarily lead prayer. They say to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they're talking about the patriarchs, these men and women of faith. Sarah, we're going to look at her. There are men and women of faith. So listen, look at Abraham. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. That's Genesis chapter 12. And verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verses number 1. Let's look at Abraham here for a second. A little bit here. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of that country and from that kindred and from that father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now remember, faith coming by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So Abraham has an ear right now. He's hearing God speak to him. When you read the Bible, you have to have the ear to hear God speak to you through the scripture. And I will make thee a great nation. He says to Abraham, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Indeed, I shall all families of the earth be blessed. Watch verse 4 now. What God speak? Abraham here. So Abraham departed. There's action. See, he heard. He believed. He didn't question. He just departed. As the Lord spoke unto him. That's the way we have to be today. Even when the Lord speaks through his word, we just move. Depart. Go, as the Lord has said. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Abraham was told by God to go to a place he had never seen. Faith come by what? Hearing. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is a sudden thing, hope for the evidence of things not seen. Here it is in action here. He obeyed. The Hebrew writer points out what set Abraham apart in this discussion, why he brings him up in the Hebrew letter, is because he obeyed the word of God. What did he do? Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive, I'm back in Hebrews now, 11. Hebrews 11, 8. by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. See that? And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned into the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Notice who it is, Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the promise God made to Abraham. That was going to be passed on to all these other heirs. Abraham, brothers and sisters, by faith, went on a journey, sojourned as a temple dweller. He's a temporary dwelling place in a strange country, not knowing where he was headed, based on a promise from the word of God. Abraham based his decision of faith on faith in God's word and obeyed God. The question I have for all the men on the call, brothers on the call, and men on the call, listening, and young men, young adults, and young teenage brothers that are listening to me this morning. Are you Abraham? To the teenage young guys, to the young brothers, your desire should be to be an Abraham in this world. Yeah, I know Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and all them guys are great examples. Roma. But the Abraham is one of the great men of God. Do we have any young adults that's growing up that you're a young man? You graduated high school, you got your young wife and children. Will you be an Abraham to your family? Will you be an Abraham that's going to step out and be different from the rest of the young people? Will you lead your family on the call of God? Isn't this a good time of the year for us to think about this? Isn't this a good time of the year for me to reach out to the Abrahams on the call? The men, the young men, the young adults, the middle-aged brothers who 30 to 40 years old, your children just about to, you know, got your wife, you got your children. Are you aspiring to be an elder or a preacher or a deacon or a great servant of the Lord in the kingdom? Will you move? Isn't it time to move to another level? I'm talking to the brothers on the call. When we get back to the building, how many of you going to step up and be Abrahams? Move. God going to be, put the negativity on the pandemic. Sure, it has done some things to the world. But remember who was in control. It was God. Yeah, we lost a lot of things through the freeze. But God blessed us. We're going to have a greater place to worship. A more high-tech place to worship. Better opportunity to reach out. More things we can do. If we look at when God moved, God has a purpose. And God's purpose is, one, is to identify who the Abrahams are. That's going to move on his... as a sojourner through this country, that's going to do what he asked them to do based on God's word. I'm asking today, do we have some Abraham that's going to move out of your comfort zone to be an elder and get rid of the things that are hindering you and be an Abraham and move? Move. We need elders at this congregation. You dare, brother. Move. Move. You got to be the Abraham. You can't get to heaven not believing that God can help you through your areas that you need help in. You got to believe it. You got to. Everything's possible with God, brothers. We're resting in my grave. And nothing else can be said. I pray the things I've done and said through my life speaks of me as an Abraham. And moved. I moved when I walked down the aisle to obey from the heart the former doctrine when I was baptized. I moved to lead my family to Christ. I moved to be a preacher of the gospel of Christ. I moved to keep continuing to preach until my head pressed the dying pillow. I want to be an Abraham. I want to be an Abraham. Actions of faith. Look at Abraham. And I hope I'm inspiring and encouraging this morning some brothers to be Abraham. That you'll lead this cause. I mean, I got to be an Abraham. Got to be an Abraham for my wife, my Sarah. I got to be Abraham for my girl, my boy, my children. And they sitting at the table listening with you right now. And they looking at you, Daddy. Are you the Abraham? Is your wife looking at you saying, that's my Abraham right there? Is your little boy looking at you? He looks up at you and he says, who is he looking at? My dad. My dad is my Abraham of this home. Oh, isn't that a great feeling? Look what Abraham did. He looked for a city. Verse 10, which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Okay. Abraham did not build a permanent house. He lived in tabernacles or tents because he knew he had to keep moving. See, you don't want to stalemate where you are, brother. You don't want to just set your place in one spot and not grow. You ought to aspire to grow and to move. Don't set your tent or tabernacle in one place. Look for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, and for a city which has foundations built by God. Just like us today, brothers and sisters, we are sojourners, temporary dwellers, pilgrims in a strange country we are. But as the title of the sermon, we're looking for a better country. We're on our way to a better country. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. That's 2 Corinthians 5:1. This is why Hollow Heights, brothers, sisters, we walk by faith and not by sight. This is why Hollow Heights, we obey God. We never give up. Let's keep fighting when others are quitting. When others have their head down, when others are negative, when others are criticizing, it don't matter. What matters is we're looking for that country. We desire a better country. We got our eyes on the prize. We're focused. We're not settling for less. We got to go park anywhere and just stay there. And the brethren on the call, pick up your stuff. Get up and move. Move, grow beyond being a brother on the pew. Grow beyond being just someone who's done nothing. Go to be leaders. Move to be a ministry leader. Move to be an action. Move to develop yourself to be an elder. Move to develop yourself to be a deacon or a preacher or one of the most powerful brothers in the brother in the church. You don't have to be an elder, deacon, a preacher, but you can be most powerful by being obedient to God through faith. Well, servants, Hollow Heights, one day we want to be like this. Brother, we want to be like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm talking to the men on the call this morning. Brothers, will we rally? Will we go back? Will we push? Will we push forward? Will we press? Yes. We have to continue to press forward. We got to keep walking and looking for the city. What is that city going to look like? What is that country going to look like? In Revelation 21:2. The Bible says in Revelation 21:2, John says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven, John said, saying, behold, the tabernacle, there it is, of God is with me, and he will dwell with them. This world is not our own. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is what we're looking for. We desire a better country, a city where God will be there. And God wipe away all tears from their eyes. There should be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. Neither shall be any more pain. No more pain. These are one of the most encouraging scriptures in the Bible to me. Today, something we've never experienced. We never experienced a world without death. We never experienced life without losing somebody you love, or being so deep in sorrow that you cry or you wail and you weep. We've never experienced a country where it didn't exist. We've never experienced a world where there would be no more pain. Physical pain, mental pain. The pain of watching this world deteriorate. Look at the world we live in. Look at the country we're in. Look at the world and the mess it's in. Look at what we're seeing in America. Rapes and carjacks and killing and just people looting and breaking in stores and running in. And people, politicians all over the board. Everybody got some crazy belief. When we're going to go back to what God has said, go back to what God has said. Don't expect it to happen in this life. Don't expect it to happen in this life where you'll be in a country where there'll be no death, no sorrow, no crime, and no pain. It's not going to happen. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? We're looking for a country. We desire a better country. But we can't get there without faith. There's someone on the call this morning. You're at your wits' end. I don't know where you're at, but you're sitting in your home, maybe depressed, maybe going through something, maybe filled with sorrow, maybe grieving, maybe on your sick bed, maybe at a point where you're fearing death, maybe you're terminally ill, maybe somebody's having to take care of you, or perhaps you're a caretaker, taking care of someone, and you're pre-grieving, watching them die in front of you. Perhaps you're somebody who's all alone. And it's just you and your world. And you're going through some things. And you're in a dark place. You're in this place that no one seems to be able to help you out. My appeal to you this morning. This is a year end. Getting ready to go into 2022. I can remember back when, in 1980, I never imagined to see 2022 or 21. I haven't seen 22 yet. Did you? How many of you can look back and think, wow, it's 2022 almost. 2022. And here you are in a dark, deep place of depression. Struggling mentally, struggling physically, struggling financially, struggling emotionally. Marriage is falling apart. You're in divorce court. You're going through financial struggles. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet. You're in a home that's filled with dysfunction. You see your children acting like they. You never taught them by God. You're a mama that's being disrespected by your child. Or you're a parent that worried about your children, their state of mind, and you taught them better, and you see them living this certain way, and you know every time the phone rings, it could be the day of sorrow, the day of pain, the day of crying. Why? You're living in this country. We desire a better country. But my point of importance this morning to the listening audience, and I'm convinced, as always, the Word of God touches the hearts of men. And it's somebody on this call that God needs you to hear. God desires for you to hear His words. God desires for you to seek truth, to be obedient. And isn't this the time to consider maybe on this one phone call, December 19, 2021, was the day that you activated your faith? Is somebody on the call like that this morning? Ready to walk by faith with God, my advice. Be like Abraham. We're going to sing Amazing Grace at the end of this sermon. I think that's the invitation song. How amazing is it when man or woman choose God over this world? Choose God over their pain. Choose God over their distrust. Choose God over anything else that's troubling your mind. And you step out on faith and say, God will get me through. Let's go back to Hebrews 11 and verse 11. There's a woman there. Through faith. I just got through talking to the brethren. Well, here comes Sarah. There was Abraham, but then there was Sarah. By faith, through faith. Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age. Notice why. Because she judged him faithful who promised. Through faith. The Hebrew writer says, also, just like Abraham, just like her husband, just like her man, this woman, his wife, without influence, without coercion, had her own belief. This is important, sisters. Now, you may have Abraham, or you may not. But you got to have your own faith. You got to have your own belief. Turn your Bible in Genesis chapter 17. Sarah judged God to keep his promise, faithful. And he is faithful. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 15, the Bible says, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. And her name be. And I will bless her. But he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, then from Sarai to Sarah. Give thee also of her a son. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face. In awe and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? She gonna have that baby? Now watch God work in Genesis chapter 18. Turn over there to chapter 18, verse 11. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after a manner of women. She got too old to have children. Then Sarah laughed at herself. Somebody, she laughed. You know, I said, yeah, you happy? She said, yeah, right. And he's like, I got to give that some thought. How that's going to happen? Look what happens. After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure for my Lord being old? I'll see, there's a question that came to her mind. That's what he's telling me. Question, how is God going to come through with this? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore does Sarah laugh? Why is she questioning? Why is she laughing as if this is impossible? Shall I bear a child which I am old? Yeah, come, God, come back. I got a question for Sarah. Is anything, this is God talking to us, and let him speak to you this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Sister, is anything too hard for the Lord? Visitors, men, you may have that past life and you don't see yourself going nowhere. But is anything too hard for God? Sister, is anything too hard for God? That's God's question back to Abraham and Sarah. At the time appointed, God said, I will return unto thee. God said, I'm going to come back. According to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. He told Malcolm. And he never seen it now. Now they got to just go on his work. Is there a Sarah in the audience this morning? Something going on in your life, to the sisters. Some say, you're lonely because you need your husband. There's a young sister out there. You don't feel pretty. You don't feel attractive. You don't feel wanted. But I won't say so. Is anything too hard for God? I'm going to ask you that question. And the reason I'm going to ask you that question is because there's no reason for you to think the way you're thinking. Lift your head up this morning. Be of Sarah. Be of Sarah and hear God say to you this morning, is anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe some Sarah this morning, you got a husband, but he has no interest in God. Or you have found yourself in the house with a man that you thought was going to be your Abraham. And you learned some things over the years. And now you're there. And you're not happy. You dare say, and you got to stick in there. But say, look here. God can change me. I mean, you got to pray, sir. You got to start saying, hey, I got to stop thinking of my husband like this. And I got to be a savior. And no matter what a man has done in his past, so it be it. We all got a past. But Sarah, can you stop laughing? And then ask yourself, is anything too hard for God? Can my man be an Abraham? Maybe your sister, and you got a husband, he's not a member of the Lord's church. He won't come to church. He's staying home. You don't know where you're touring. You're trying to lead them all by yourself. Sarah, come on, Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I got to ask you, Sarah, is anything too hard? Maybe you're Sarah this morning, and you had a husband, you went through a divorce, or you had a man, and things didn't work out, and you by yourself, you got these kids, it's just you and them children. And you find yourself strapping, you find yourself working two jobs, you find yourself, your financial, your bank is low every week, you're on food stamps, you're trying to make it, it's just you and the children. And you're always going to be mama. And you always take care of your children. But you down on yourself. You give it up. The children watching you cry. Sarah, get up. Sarah, is anything too hard for God? We ain't going to move on faith. Sarah said, well, you have tried, God. I tried it, Brother Brooks. But it didn't seem like things are getting better. Well, that's because, Sarah, you know, you're looking for the outcome, remember? You're looking for the outcome. What you're seeing, Sarah, is God waiting on you to move by faith. Don't laugh. Sarah? God asking you, Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? Or maybe you're somebody, you're Sarah this morning, and women are emotional and sensitive. And you know, you're trying to hold it in. You're trying to be strong. You smile on the outside. But inside, your tears are just pouring down as a waterfall. Why, sir? Maybe because you just haven't thought about it like that. You know? Sometimes we got to look around and see people worse off than you are for you to see the blessing of being a child of God. I'm trying to talk to the Sarah this morning. I haven't figured that out. Right now I'm talking to the Sarah. You know what I think about the senior sisters of the audience this morning. Your husband has been passed on. Your widow. Don't seem to have nothing to live for no more. You gotta make it without your Abraham, sir. How you gonna do that? Your faith. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He can watch out for you. He's going to take care of you. I know. When it's lonely at night, when it's just you, I really can talk about that. To be a widow, a widower. It'll send you to a place that you had never been in. And you're in your golden youth. Marriage to another man or woman is not in your sight. But now you gotta move. You gotta ask, Sarah. Don't go down on us. You gotta ask, is anything too hard for God? God gonna bring you through. He gonna take care of you. All these things, those scenarios I'm throwing out now are maybe these issues of faith. And if you can get off this call this morning and say, my number one goal is to be a Sarah. My number one goal is to be an Abraham. To be a man, a woman of faith. Listen to the Bible. What God did for Abraham, his wife. In Genesis 21:1, as I hasten toward a close, and the Lord said, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. I'm in Genesis 21:1. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. God said it, and God did it. Sarah conceived, bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God has spoken. God gonna move in his time. And this is one thing I think we should remember. When it's time for us to go back to the building, God will move. And I think that I appreciate the prayer this morning. It's in God's time. God is doing something in this world. I think we ought to quit complaining about the COVID, quit complaining about being out of the building, quit complaining about not doing that, and see what God is doing in your life. See what God is doing and believe that God will move as he has said, and God will move in his time. And when God moves, no one can stop God from moving. No one can stop God from moving. God spoke. He moved. Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 100 years old. And Sarah was old too. Listen to the Hebrew writer. Go back to Hebrews in verse, and here's what the Hebrew writer said about them. In verse 11, Hebrews 11, 11, through faith, Sarah received strength, since she recovered, to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because, here's the reason, here's all the outcome of her success as Sarah, because what she did was judge him faithful who had promised. That's why the Bible said the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah believed it before God did it. That's what made her a woman of faith. Can you believe? Are you on the call this morning? Have I reached your heart? Therefore, verse 12, sprang there even of one, as he, him, as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the sea, sure innumerable, from a man and a woman who thought they were too old to have a child. They were as good as dead when it comes to bearing children, but God was faithful to his promise. From them came a nation of people, vast in numbers, as the stars of the sky, multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, just like God promised Abraham. That means they became a great nation. We know them as the children of Israel. In closing, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These all died, talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. How will you die this morning? If you were to die today, will you die Abraham or Sarah? How will you die in the future? Will you die Abraham or Sarah, who listened to God and moved? But the Bible says in verse 14, for they say such things, declare plainly, they seek a country. Here I go. And truly, they had been mindful of that country from which they came out. They might have the opportunity to have a return. It wasn't too late for them to go back and stop believing. It's not too late for you to stop believing. But they didn't stop. They kept pressing forward. But now they desire a better country. Here they are. That's why they kept moving. That's why I got this title for right there. Do you desire a better country? That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Does God ashamed because your God? If God's not ashamed because he prepared a city for them to die in faith, brothers and sisters, is to die believing, desiring a better country. Die believing one day there will be a new home, a better country, a new place of rest, a better country, a place where no more tears, no reasons to cry, a better country. Believing in God, wipe away all your tears, a better country. A place where no pain will be, a better country. Where the street is gold, a better country. A place where God would dwell, a better country. They desire a better country. How many of you this morning desire a better country? To die believing one day, you hear God say, well done. Well done, that good and faithful servant. How did you make it? How did you make it? You made it because you was a man of faith, a woman of faith. Nothing deterred you. Nothing stopped you. Nothing was too hard for God. No matter what your struggles are this morning, I'm trying to get you to see that you can make it. But you got to desire a better country. You got to desire a heavenly place where God is not going to be ashamed to call your God. Why don't you come this morning believing that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that his son died on that cross. He died on that cross. I've been talking about it. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, who hung between the twilights of two worlds, suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. God is saying, look at him. If you look at him, you got to believe in him, even though you never saw him. By faith, you believe that Jesus was on that cross. By faith, you believe he died. By faith, you believe he suffered. By faith, you believe he said the things he said. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, my God. Why have thou forsaken me? By faith this morning. Do you believe they took him down off the cross after piercing him in his side? I came blood and water. Do you believe that they buried him in a borrowed tomb and resurrected on a Sunday morning, the first day of the week? You believe that with all your heart? Do you believe that he was the Son of God? Then your faith, now your belief system now starts. Your faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. I just taught you from the Word of God. Do you believe it with all your heart? Do you believe, number two, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you believe that, will you repent? As Jesus commanded Luke 13:3, he said, I'll tell your name, except you repent. Change your course. Change your mind. Get ready for a new year. Make that decision today to make a change and step out on faith. Step out on faith this morning, believing that I'm going to make a change for my better, change for my life, change for me, change for my family, change to be an Abraham, change to be a Sarah, change to grow up to be an Abraham, a young man, change to grow up to be a young Sarah. Do it now. Believe it. Be willing to confess Jesus to be the Son of God on this call. Don't be ashamed. Jesus said, if you confess me before me, and I confess you before my Father. You deny me, I'll deny you. After that, you got to be baptized. Why? I already told you. You got to believe and be baptized. Jesus commanded it in Mark 16:15-16. Baptism is for the remission of sin. Peter told them in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness or the remission of sin. It's in the baptism. When you step in there believing Christ is in there, you'll be buried with Christ. Believing blood is in that water. That blood going to wash away your sins, according to Revelation 1:5. Same blood that was shed on the cross. You didn't see him, and you ain't going to see no blood in the water. You step in there believing. And when you come up born again, a new creature, generated, an heir of God, and a joint heir of Jesus Christ, born again of the water and of the Spirit. Then the Lord will add you to the only church you read about in the Bible, and that is the church of Christ. That is. Salute one another, holy kid. Paul said, the church of the Christ. Salute you. If you want to be a member of the church, you do those five things. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And then you'll be added to the church. And then you must live faithful unto death. Faithful to God's promises. Believe in them. Be like Abraham. Be like Sarah. Just move on God's commands. And then you'll make heaven your home. You're a member of the church. You know, if you fall by the wayside, get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Because you just got to get up and get going again. Just get up and get going. Say, I'm going to move this morning. I'm coming back to the Lord. I'm leaving this year behind, and I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward to be better. I want to move forward to be a better Abraham, a stronger man of God, a stronger sister in Christ, a great servant of the Lord. I'm moving to become an elder. I'm moving to become a deacon. I'm moving to become a great servant of the church as a sister in Christ. I want to be a savior. You need to make confession. You can do that. We get ready to say, and here's the thing about it. When we look at life and we look at the fact that God woke us up this morning and God gave me a chance to hear such a powerful, encouraging lesson this morning, I hope it was for you. It is for me. I'll just say that for me. For me, this is very encouraging just to move on it. Move on faith. Stay with faith. Judge God to be faithful to his promises and continue to move. And if you feel that way and you want to respond, we got a song called Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. And you sing this song with fervor, you sing this song with belief. You know God woke you up this morning. You know he's going to watch over you. You know God's merciful. He's graceful. He's long-suffering. He's trustworthy. All of those things come in grace. Lead us in a song, Brother Kirby. If you want to come this morning, come by hitting 5-star on your phone, and Brother Tim will take your confession, take your prayer request, and we'll pray with you, pray for you. May God bless you. Brother Brooks, love you. Come back this afternoon for the second part of Abraham, talking about a man of faith. May God bless you. Please come as we sing this song of encouragement.